You are about to enjoy a presentation recorded at the 2023 Michigan Conference Camp Meeting held at Cedar Lake, Michigan. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you listen.
Good afternoon. Welcome again, and thank you so much for coming. This warms my heart when all these chairs fill up, all these pews. I know there's a real need in this area for decluttering and organizing, even if it's just one drawer. Amen. We start small, don't we, sweetheart? Yes, we do. Okay, so I've got some house cleaning to do. I hope you'll just give me a second while I do this, okay? People that wonder what all that garbage was doing on that back table. And I've been waiting for someone to ask, what is this garbage for? And somebody asked, I was waiting for you to get uncomfortable about the garbage being on the table so I could run up there and I could throw it away. Thank you. It's now clean. That's what we want to do in our homes day by day, is to get rid of the trash and the clutter. Amen? I need a hand for the run. So did everyone get handouts today? We got two questions yesterday, and I need my question lady. So we have two questions, excellent questions, that were handed in yesterday, and we'll do one at a time this time. And let's hear the first one. Listen carefully.
Oh, how do we get past the sentimental part? The memories are strong, so I feel like I'm throwing out or giving away memories.
Yes. Is that a good question? Oh, we can all relate to that. I love that when that comes in. So there's no doubt about it. The things that we are attached to sentimentally is the hardest to unclutter. It comes from our mommy. It comes from our aunt. You know, it comes from our sister, all those precious people. Maybe they're living, maybe they are not, but they are very special to us. So whenever you're ready, and that's very important, here's how to declutter the sentimental items. Remember, your house is a home and not a storage area. I love it. Oh, it's great. But a museum. It's not a museum for you to come. People come to your home and you've got to go through your museum and show them all your, you know, trinkets from whenever. All right. Sentimentalism down the drain. Wish that worked, but that was a good suggestion. You just took it right off my page. Thank you. That's an excellent idea. But let's run through some of these others. Be sure to surround yourself with things that make you feel good and happy. If there are things that are sentimental but they don't bring you happiness, you need to think about that. So this is what you do. You gather all your sentimental stuff. And you put it on a table, and you look at it, and you meditate over it, and you touch it, and you feel it in your heart. Not yet. And then you ask yourself these questions. Does this item bring back pleasant memories? Number one. Number two. Does this item take up space in display that I want it to? Do I want to display it so I can regularly look at it? Or is it going to go back into a box somewhere for another 20 years? Here's something else. Take a picture of it. And after looking over the items, that's very close to your heart, and I'm talking to myself too, guys. I know I'm trying to make it fun, but you know, I get you. You know, I know what you're talking about. After looking over the items, select, what do you think? Two or three? That was a husband, I think. No.
You know, it's hard.
It is.
It's hard because to me it depends on what the memory represents. If it's something small and it doesn't take up a lot of space, then I can keep small little memory things in one little container somewhere safe that every now and then I can pop open the lid and look at those memories. If it's something big, then I typically don't want it to take up space and I would rather gift it to another person, remember the beautiful memories, and know that it's now blessing someone else.
Amen. And you know, that's a great point. If you have a family member that would enjoy receiving it and enjoy looking at it and touching it like you have enjoyed it, give it to them, and they will be blessed by it also. So the one, and listen carefully, the one we should be most sentimental about is who? Jesus. Do we love Jesus more than we do our sentimental items? Mm-hmm. Our sentimental items are very important, and God is glad that we have those memories. But above all, sentimentalism is all about Jesus. He deserves all our love, our respect, and worship. Did you know? Now this is, oh man, this hits close to home when I say this. Sentimentalism is a form of worship. Let's just be honest with ourselves this afternoon. We can actually become so attached that we begin worshiping those things. So be careful that your sentimentalism does not come between you and your relationship with Jesus. Is that a good answer? Yeah. And it's hard. It is the hardest thing to declutter things that mean so much to us. But if they're taking up our living space, we've got to address them and decide what to do with them. Question number two.
Okay. What paperwork, after my burn comment yesterday, what paperwork should be kept versus tossed? Great question. I've kept everything since I've moved out of my parents' home. I'm picturing myself, I'd be wading through papers at this point. I just don't know what's safe to get rid of, and also even to store papers that I needed to keep, like how to store them.
Okay, papers. Isn't it interesting how we get attached to trees in our house? Little tiny pieces of paper. So this is a question that we are addressing today. It's talking about an overabundance of paper that has caused a mountain of clutter. That's what we're talking about today. Papers that have been kept since she moved out of her parents' home. So I just want to share with you some important papers that you should not burn.
Correct. I'm with her. You can't burn everything.
That's right. So if it is tax returns up to 7 years, keep them. Beyond 7 years, in the trash. I have went into churches who have tax returns of some sort and membership things of some sort from the 1800s. And it's taking up space, and they want to build sheds and barns and whatever to house the new stuff that they don't have enough room for. All right. Another thing that you could think about keeping is medical records, but not all of them, because remember, that's your doctor's job. They have files and files on you, and you don't have to keep all of your medical records. For instance, if you get a lab result, keep it until the next lab result, so you can compare the two and throw the old one away, okay? Keep the paper trail heading toward the trash can when it's not really usable. Yes.
I was just going to say, I'm just going to pipe in here real quick. Because some of those things have sensitive information on them, like tax returns. They have all my children's social security numbers and your social security number, and it could be an ID theft thing. That's why I choose to burn a lot of stuff, but you can also shred.
Yes.
I know some of us live in town, we can't burn everything. You can't have some big bonfire once a week. So if you can also shred those things, and then you don't have to worry about it. It's no one's going to get your information. You can get rid of it. You can recycle it once it's shredded. Some of the recycling centers have shredders, so you can shred them, and then they recycle the paper.
I will tell you, I have cleaned homes where there is a wonderful paper shredder, And guess what's beside the paper shredder? A stack of papers up to the top. And I think they just throw the top one away just to keep it at the top level of the paper shredder. I mean, it's crazy. So use your paper shredder if you have one. Please use it. And then put them in the trash can. Another thing, if you buy a home, keep the papers. If you buy a new appliance, keep those papers. If the appliance breaks and you replace it, throw the old paper away. Do I need to repeat that?
So I hear you saying we need to have little filing drawers where that, right, the spot for the papers for the house or the loan on the car.
Yes.
And then the papers for the medical and then the papers for the appliances. So that way when we do want to replace something, we're not trying to sift through a stack of papers. We know right where the medical record was. We can pitch the old one and put the new one in.
Yes.
Easy to replace. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. You may want to keep receipts, you know, grocery receipts, buying receipts for up to a year in case you need it for taxes. I threw one away one time and I couldn't get reimbursed for it. It was about $50. But my son-in-law said, keep your receipts for up to a year and then throw them away after taxes. And I have a little box in my kitchen cupboard and my husband, we both do this. We put all of our receipts in this little box. And at the end of the year, I pull the bottom ones out and I throw them away, and then it's down to just a little bit. That way, you're not looking for receipts.
I do think it's important to recognize if you just get a W-2 and you file that W-2, you don't need to keep any of those receipts. This is only for people who file like as self-employed.
Yes.
If you're a self-employed person, then you need to keep all your receipts. But if you're just doing the 1040 EZ and you do one W-2, your standard deduction is usually far more than what you're going to claim for your little receipts.
Okay,
you can, or you can record them if you want to and be done with it as well.
If you want to keep your receipts, that's great. But just remember, you have to live with your receipts. And if you're in your 80s and you've kept all those receipts for all 80, for 1 year. All right, good. We got it right.
There we go.
We got one more comment and I've got to move. Okay. All right.
So it's another reason to keep your receipts for a year.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So that'd be the 7 year.
The 7 year.
With that tax return for 7 years.
So any receipts that you need to keep for tax purposes goes into the tax file for that year.
Yep.
Every year we put a new, like 2023, there's a new file, piece of paper, all the papers, all the receipts, anything that I want to keep, all the bills that I have paid, everything goes into that file. And then the next year, I can throw away the one on the end, the eighth one, you know, it's out the door. So there's a certain way that you have to do it so that you can be very, very intentional about it. Whenever you do make a file, get a 2-4 drawer file and alphabetize everything. You know, don't put taxes in the front and your house in the back. Let's alphabetize things so they're easy to get to. So legal identification documents, Social Security cards, birth certificates, tax documents, tax returns, W-2 and 1099 forms, property records, vehicle registrations and titles, mortgage statements, deeds and bills of sale, estate planning documents, wills and trusts, don't go to sleep on me, powers of attorney, finance records, pay stubs, up to 3 years. All the other things you put in, and if you sell the house, then you get rid of the old stuff. Now, if you want to know more than what you just heard, Dave Ramsey. Have you ever heard of him? He's an amazing guy, and he'll give you great advice on how to store your papers, what to dispose of, how to retrieve it. I would recommend going to his website, RamseySolutions.com, and following his recommendations. Does that sound good? I think it's great. Thank you for those two great questions. Thank you, Amy. All right, now we are excited. I am so excited for Holly Bettermeyer. She come up here, Holly. She is a sweetheart. Holly, even before taking this class, 1 year ago, she decided that she was going to declutter and organize and purge her home. You are going to see today the before and the after of this little gal's house, and I'm so happy you're here today.
Thank you, Patsy, for the invitation to come to your class. Set my timer here. So, here I have. She asked me to share my journey on trying to empty my house project. It's been crazy, I'll tell you that right now. I don't want to share too much about the whole background thing, but life got very intense for many years. We suffered a big financial crisis. My father passed away. I went back to school to do med tech. That took 4 years of my life. And in that same year that my father died, I started school, and then I found out I was pregnant with my second son. That was all in 1 year. We've been through a lot. And as you know, life gets stressful. We live in a 16 by 72 mobile home that includes 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a laundry room, kitchen, living room. Things got so crazy during our financial crisis. You know how people love to help you out when you're in a crisis? Well, that happened. And I had a lot of stuff, lots of stuff. I'm not much of a shopper, not too much, only what I need to. But the things that people would give me were things that I thought I could use. So I would store them, keep them. And eventually things got so crazy, the clutter got so bad that it was literally overwhelming. And so this last year, I decided I was going to make a change in our life now that I finally was working in an outpatient system, doing med tech instead of working at a hospital evening, late night shift. So now I finally had the work-life balance in place. So I started watching the hoarder shows on YouTube. My house kind of looked like a YouTube hoarder show. You can see, we'll just click through the pictures. And I was very embarrassed about my house, as you can tell some of these pictures. Pastor Dan, you can just click through them slowly and over if you need to. And so I finally decided I would say something on my Facebook page that I'm working on cleaning my house and I'm really embarrassed about this, but I need your encouragement. So, and that was kind of a scary thing, put it out on social media. So, and some of my friends says, pictures or it didn't happen. Oh boy, now I have to take before and after pictures or at least show people what I'm working on. Oh boy, this is gonna take some courage. So eventually I did make a Facebook post with several things that I'd been working on, and the feedback was amazing. And people were saying, even to this day, even yesterday, you encouraged me so much to clean my house. I use your example to help me continue to focus. And I had another friend on Facebook that said, have you ever watched The Minimal Mom? I said, no, I've never even heard of that. So I started watching her YouTube channel. That was really encouraging too. Lots of tips, tricks, you name it, inspiration. But I think the hoarder show meant more to me because I felt like I was in that zone. Even though true hoarders have like the mental illness component, but my house looked like that. So every single week, I started the weekend after Thanksgiving this last year, and I worked until March 15. This was 16 weeks overtime. Wednesday was my day off work, so I would work a full day. We're talking like from the time I get up till we go to bed, cleaning my house every single week for 16 weeks. So I would fill the outdoor trash bin weekly, like one of those big outdoor garbage bins things, full every single week. Thank goodness trash pickup was Tuesday night. Carloads of stuff to community service. I had to strategize how and where am I going to even put anything because, remember, 16 by 72 single wide mobile home. I have 4 pets, 2 boys, a husband, and myself. So over time, I had to work. This is the first secret. Patsy asked me, there are 3 secrets. First secret, you have to have 3 bins. Or 3 areas in a staging area. That should be the first secret. Make a staging area. In my living room, it took me 3 weeks to make a staging area. So then once you have your staging area, have three bins: your toss, your keep, your giveaway. Yep, that's number two. The third secret: empty the room you're working on. Only put back what you actually use. That was a hard one for me. So here I just want to share a little bit of statistics here. It took 3 weeks to make a staging area in my living room. 4 weeks in my master bedroom. 2 weeks, mind you, this is 1 day a week, but in real time, it's a week. 1 day, you know. So 2 weeks, master bathroom. 3 weeks, kitchen area, and I still have the cupboards and cabinets I haven't even touched. 1 week for the hallway. It was becoming a fire hazard. If you can see some of my pictures, you'll see the hallway full on one, empty on the other. 1 week for my laundry closet, which I have a washer dryer. 2 weeks for the pantry and the back door hallway. This is crazy, guys. I never knew how much stuff that could accumulate in one little mobile home. And of our clothing, I reduced our clothing by 80%. The only clothes we have at home are what we're actually using. And maybe a few little sentimental things from when the boys were little. Few extra little changes of clothes for campouts because we're big into outdoor stuff. But that's the only clothes we have is what we're actually using. Amazing. You can wash your clothes, have a load of laundry, put it away. There are no clothes laying around my house. Let me tell you before, they were laying around the house like crazy. And anything you need, you'd have to go hunting. Anything you want, you go diving. Let me see if I can even find a pair of socks that match. Or clean underwear. I don't even know what's clean, what's dirty. Crazy. And a few weeks after I started doing this, I was getting pushback. My oldest son, Robbie, he's a blessing, but he would say to me, "Mom, why are we even doing this? It's just gonna go back to the way it was." Oh. My youngest son comes home from school. I'm still at work. I get home a couple hours later. I come home, he's made a beautiful mess. Like, he was upset about the changes, so he would make a big mess. And that's one thing I had to pray for myself. That's one thing you have to do while you're doing this kind of project. Pray for yourself. I had to pray for myself. How do I talk to my boys to help us make this change? Because we need this change. And you know what? After a few weeks, I had projects for them. They come home from school. I have this for you. I have this for you. And pretty soon they were helping me. "Mom, let's do this. Mom, let's do that." So here we go. We did that. My youngest son's bedroom still needs done. That's one bedroom I haven't touched yet. Part of the problem is, again, back to the staging area, when you unload your room, you have to have a place to put everything that comes out of that room. So that's a challenge. My oldest son, he decided on his own, thank you, Robbie, that he was going to clean his own room. And so he starts coming out with these, like, armloads of trash. I said, "Oh, here's some trash bags. You can just take that. Anything you don't want out of your room, I have these bins here." Remember, the toss, the keep, the giveaway. Boom. 2 hours, he had his room all done. So that was really cool. Now, in the last 6 weeks, things have kind of backslid in a little bit because my body decided, "You're not going to do this anymore." My back went out. I was at the chiropractor, like, for weeks, like every single week. There was no doing anything except try to recover. So hopefully in the future, here in the next few weeks, we'll get the little boy's room done, we'll get back up to speed, and keep learning things. So that's kind of where we're at. You can kind of, hopefully these pictures before and after are helping you visualize the absolute craziness. I don't have anything really else to share except encouraging you, wherever you're at in your stage in this whole process, the good news is your things have patience, eternal patience, and they will be there when you are ready for them. All right, Patsy.
Awesome. Let's give her a hand. Beautiful. All right, if she can do it, you can
That's right. What a great challenge. And she finally enlisted the cooperation of her family, which is awesome. All right, let us start with prayer. We don't want to forget to pray before we start. Shall we bow our heads? Lord Jesus, we're here today because we want to glorify your name and make our homes a little dwelling place like heaven. Thank you, Lord, that we have willing hearts. I pray, Lord, that we will even be more open today from the things we hear to go forward in faith and be what you want us to be, not only in our heart, but in our home. In Jesus' name, amen. So our subject today is purging, the chaos cure. And if you look at that slide, you'll see that the C on chaos means can't. The H is have. The A is anyone. The O is over syndrome. Can't have anyone over syndrome. And we're finding out even from Holly that she did not want to have anyone over because of the chaos she found herself in. So what we want to do today is find out what the chaos cure is and to learn how to purge our homes. We first need to realize that our stuff did not pile up overnight. And so it will take a little bit of time to pare it down. So be sure you have time, but more than important time, patience with yourself as you go through this process. Give yourself grace. Just as you eat, now I liken this to losing weight because I used to be 65 pounds heavier than I am right now, which is a wonderful accomplishment in my life. Amen. Yeah. But just as I eat smaller portions to keep my weight off, I eat a small dessert once a week, and I got rid of most of the junk foods that is causing the weight gain. Organizing your home goes one step at a time, and that is the way to remove excess stuff, in parentheses, excess weight, so that you will no longer feel suffocated. Have you ever felt suffocated in your home from all the stuff that you have accumulated? And you say to yourself, I'm going to go somewhere else and get some peace and quiet because of all the stuff that has come into my home. So we're going to go through 10 things here that is going to be, they're just one word, but yet they've got more attached to it than what you would realize. And the first word is recycle, or throw away broken items. Broken items are easy to dispose of. If they no longer work, get rid of them. If they're metal, recycle them. You know what I mean? Get into the recycling thing, and it doesn't cost to get rid of many things that are broken. Donate items or clothing that you haven't worn in the last year or two. You know, and I know, that there is a small portion of clothing that is in your closet that you wash and dry every single week, and you put the same things on, and that probably takes up about a quarter of your closet, and the other three quarters, you know, let's just be honest with ourselves, we're waiting for something to happen. We're waiting to lose weight. That's right. So if you have clothing that has hung in your closet for over a year, maybe two, I'll give you even a little mercy, get rid of it. Most likely it's outdated, it's out of fashion. And you know, if it's too hard to do it from the closet to the trash, put it in another place for a little while. And if you don't miss it, then you know you can live without it. Clothes take up a lot of space. Throw away outdated food. I went, and I shared this with you a little bit ago, outdated food can actually make you sick. I cleaned a home where there was a lot of outdated food. This lady had eaten so much outdated food, she ruined her intestinal tract.
to the point where she needed a colostomy. She's now living with it today because she ate outdated food, on sale food. Please, if it is outdated, don't eat it. Now, you know, if you pick a tomato out of the garden, or you pick green beans, I'm talking about fresh produce, you say, after this many days, I'm getting rid of it. But we can let canned goods sit on our shelves, and they will outdate, and we will still eat them. We think, if it's good enough, I'll eat it. The lid hasn't popped off yet. But I am telling you, those outdates are there for your health. Throw it away and replace it. One thing I do with my canned goods, I never have more than two of anything in the cupboard. Let's just take, for instance, a can of vegetarian beans. There's two cans of vegetarian beans in my pantry. Well, one day we decide to have a picnic. So I take the first can off the shelf, and I open it up, and we use it. I immediately put on my grocery list a can, you know, vegetarian beans. So when I go to the store again, the next time around, I got my grocery list already made up, and I buy it, and I put it at the back on the shelf because I want to use the one that was still left first. And I've got into the habit of doing this. I didn't always do it. I have to intentionally think about it. And that way, the things I'm talking about, pickles, I'm talking about, how about spaghetti? You know, it hasn't cooked up yet. It should last forever. Watch the date on your spaghetti. I have two boxes of spaghetti on any given day in my cupboard. I use the one I purchased the latest, and I use it, and then I put on my refrigerator, on my list, spaghetti. And then I put another, when I put it back in my cupboard, I'm ready to go again. It's a great way to keep stocked, but not overstocked. Then if you have company over at the last minute, like happens at our house every now and then, you can always have spaghetti and sauce and a vegetable or whatever. I know at any given Sabbath, I can invite people over. I can grab something out of the cupboards and make it for fellowship dinner, and it works out really great. So just be prepared, but not overstocked. All right, unsubscribe from mailing lists. Most of your email, some people, thousands of emails, and it's just kind of builds. That's like paper clutter. You say, oh, whatever. No, really, it drives me nuts after a while. So I clear my email every day. I mean, I probably get 50 emails, and I very quickly get rid of them. But if you get emails that you don't want, you can go to the bottom of the email, and it'll say unsubscribe. Not every time, but a lot of times, and then you don't get that anymore. If you get mail, today I went out to my mailbox, I got my mail, I was so proud of myself, I'm going to walk the talk because I came here and talked the talk. I stood in the kitchen, I pulled out my garbage can, and right next door to the garbage can in went 95% of what I found in my mailbox. Oh, do you know what that makes me feel like? Oh, I love it. There's no clutter. There was a magazine, which went directly to the magazine rack, and there was a bill, which I promptly paid and put it back out in the mailbox, or you can even do it online. So you don't have to let paper clutter build. If you do it at the moment it walks through the door. All right, reduce clutter one room at a time, one drawer at a time. You don't have to be a minimalist. That word scares me just a tad. Like, you go into a house and there's no furniture, there's no pictures, there's nothing, you know. But the floors are clean and the counters are sterile. That's what my picture is of minimalist. It's probably not right, but anyway.
I like to have a balance. I like my home to look lived in, but not cluttered. There's a difference. And then people can come in, and there's a peace that comes into their heart when they feel a cleanliness that you have made happen. So blitz daily clutter. For example, before you go to bed at night, this is a great habit. You take the garbage bag out of the kitchen, and you go around to all the rooms where you have your garbage, little garbage disposals, and you collect the garbage for the day. You go, I just do that once a week, forget it. No, really, think about it. You can go to bed and all your garbage cans are clean for the next day. It's really fun to keep everything picked up and clean. Clear your kitchen counters completely. I have a place for my toaster inside my cupboard, and that's because I've decluttered my cupboards, and there's a space for the toaster. Back in the olden days, the toaster sat on the counter, and it was always putting crumbs on my counter. But now, I wipe it, put it in the cupboard. I know I'm crazy, but it just feels clean. Make sure your counters are clean. You don't have to have every electrical appliance lining up your counters. You don't. You really don't. You can actually put it away. I learned this from my daughter, Heidi. I go to her house. She has no electrical appliances on her counter. I thought, ooh, this looks nice. In place, she's maybe got a little lemon tree in one spot, and she's got a little bit of greenery over here. She's my number one as far as cleanliness. Everything looks pristine and clean and just beautiful. And I thought, I'm going to start putting my, you guys, I had my blender on my counter. I had my toaster on my counter. I had my egg, you know, my beater on the counter. And how often do I use my beater? I make it with, use mashed potatoes or make a cake or something. But you know what I mean? All these appliances. It's like you want to invite people in and go, hey, look at all my appliances. You know what I mean? It's like show and tell. But hey, why not put it, find a place in the cupboard to put it? There's plenty of room, plenty of space, if you'll just take the time to declutter what's already in those cupboards. Just 15 minutes a day, you will purge away and keep your living space clean and tidy. All right, now for a little break, we're going to watch a video. And it's a two-minute video. I'm telling you this for real. Yesterday when I did it, there was a 10-minute video and a two-minute video, and we got the 10-minute version yesterday. But anyway, today we're going to see a video, and I call it The Man in the Garage. Watch it and see what you think. Oh, does that give you a laugh or what? That man worked so hard. And I'll tell you what, he was going to go golfing that day, and his wife said to him, honey, your garage needs cleaned out. And I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to buy some groceries, and when I come back, oh, it'd be so nice if the garage is clean. Didn't he do a great job? He really got enamored with organization. But anyway, sometimes does not things like that happen in our lives? We, just like what Holly said, she had everything nice and clean. She came home from work and her young son had just made a beautiful mess. You can have all the right intentions and yet you might come up with something like that. All right, let's go to the Bible. Did you know the Bible speaks of cleanliness? It speaks of purging. And our belongings, as we deal with this, we need to remember that excess is not good for you, it suffocates you, and if you are either stepping on your stuff or walking around it, God never meant for you to live this way. You are living with a form, and this really shocked me when I learned this, you are living with a form of greed. I thought, no, I'm just living with my stuff. Could it be a form of greed? Oh, the Bible's clear when it comes to greed. Let's go to Proverbs 1, 17 through 19. Can you see the screen well enough to read it with me, or shall I read it for you? Can you see it?
All right, this is really important. Remember, this is the wisest man that ever lived that wrote this. Let's read it together. For in vain is a net spread. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy. It takes away the life of its possessor. Oh. Did that hit you like it hit me? It takes away the life. Excess material possessions is a form of greed, and it takes away the life of its possessor. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And this is another verse that woke me up to the fact that I needed to do some purging in my own life and in my own home. Can you read it? Can you see it from there? Let's read it together. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexually impure, or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God. What? How did greed get on that list? Please. We're like idolaters or adulterers? It says greed. Greed for stuff? Greed for money? Greed for sex? Greed for food? Would this be what this means when we see the word greed in the Bible? This is only one text. If you were to do a study tonight on the word greed in the Bible, you would be amazed at the Bible verses that talk about greed. And when you apply excess material possessions in that spot, you would just say, Lord, have mercy on me and help me to be the person you want to be. You see, we are to have what we really need and let the rest of our stuff go. Do not let yourself become a slave to material possessions. Give it away! Freedom! Throw it away! Freedom! Donate it to Goodwill! Freedom! It's beautiful. God cares about you and your happiness, not your stuff. He wants you to be free. Free in Him. And did you realize when you accept His freedom, He will give you everything you need in that big word called freedom. All right, let's go to Luke 12, 16 to 21. There is nothing righteous about purposefully storing large amounts of stuff. As time goes by, you will learn it is not the abundance of possessions that is important. It is living with as little as possible. Your eyes will actually adjust to less is better. At first, it can be painful. When you empty out a space and there's nothing there, it can be painful. Your first thing you want to do is run to the store or to the garage sale and fill that corner up again because you've looked at it so long being full of stuff. Please try to not do that. Cut your possessions in half. Cut your buying by two-thirds. And you will be able to successfully manage your stuff, and your house will be big enough to not only store your stuff, but for you to enjoy and live comfortably and pleasant. God wants us to live comfortably and pleasant. Let's go to Luke 12, 16 through 21. This is the worst thing you can do when you have an abundance of possessions. Can you read it with me? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my food and my stuff. And I will say to myself, Self, you have ample stuff. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Ooh. That was heavy on my heart when I read that. Do I want to be a fool? Nobody wants to be a fool. We want to be a child of God. And if you find yourself tempted to build bigger barns, talk to God. God has more work for you to do than to build a bigger barn. So, start now. Don't wait till Monday. Because Monday, I want to hear that a little louder. Monday, that is right. Later never comes. You will feel better than you have in a long time. Look to see how less is so much better. Ask God to help you to be less greedy. Do you ever find yourself looking at the newspaper at the sales for the weekend? Oh, I wonder what's for sale at Meijer, or what's for sale at JCPenney, or what's for sale at Walmart, or what's for sale at Kohl's. I am telling you, there's nothing for sale. But if you go to God's Word, instead of looking at the sale items, you will have a peace and a pleasantness in your heart that is unheard of. You will have a witness for God that will say, I have changed my life for the better. Come and see. Invite someone to your home that has saw your home in the before and then see it in the now. It will be a wonderful, wonderful feeling. You will soon begin to want less instead of binging on a shopping spree. You will desire filling up on the Word of God. Your heart will be so full that the excess possessions will go away amazingly rapid. For Holly, it was 16 weeks out of a lifetime. That's not very long, is it, Holly? Overall, she did it in a very short amount of time. Once you begin the process, you will discover there's another feeling. Now, I'm going to warn you, there is another feeling, and it's the devil that's bringing you this feeling. I don't need another thing, but I want it anyway. That's going to come. The devil's going to make sure you have those thoughts and feelings in your heart and in your life. And it's going to come over and over again. It's called desire shopping. To understand this idea, I want you to imagine a headstrong two-year-old. I was in Walmart before I came to camp meeting, and I walked in the door, and from way over on that left corner, I heard, I want Cheetos! And I thought, usually an adult wouldn't do that. It was a three-year-old. And this lady, I mean, I had shopping to do, and you know, I was going through the different aisles, and as I got closer, it got louder. I want Cheetos! I want Cheetos! I could have put a tune to it. I want Cheetos! I thought of that poor mother, and she would very nicely stoop over and say, now you can't have any Cheetos. That was like putting gas on the fire. It was like three volumes higher. You know what I mean? I want Cheetos! And at the checkout, same thing. This little guy has strong, headstrong, I want Cheetos. And they left the store and they were in the parking lot. I want Cheetos. I was proud of that mother for putting up with it, but I also would have probably taken my kid out of the store. But she was bound and determined that kid would not get Cheetos. You see, the emptier our hearts are, the stronger our desire is to shop for Cheetos. You put the word in there. The desire for possession has grown over the years and has turned out to be an out-of-control monster. What are we going to do with an out-of-control monster? Headstrong, ravenous, willful, self-loving. It feels like a magnetic force to go to the store rather than control yourself. You're letting it control you. You know, we think we love our stuff. What we really love is the feeling of buying it. Because once we get the stuff home, the feeling is gone. We put it in a corner, we put it in a cupboard, and we forget about it. The feeling has disappeared. Why do we do this? We love the feeling of buying as much as we want it without restraint. We love not having people tell us, don't buy that. It could have been when you were a child. Nope, you can't have that. Nope, you can't have that. And now that you're free and you've got your own paycheck, you can buy. And you can buy whatever you want all day long. The feeling is so much that we ignore the physical pain. The pain of hardly being able to fit into our homes. The pain of having only a path to walk in our homes. The mental pain from the fatigue of the aftermath. At the end, we feel awful about ourselves, and our guilt leads to a feeling of depression. God is our creator. He is the creator of our feelings. He's the creator of our being. And if you go to a physical world to try to satisfy your longings, it'll never work. Only God can satisfy. You can go to alcohol and get pleasure. You can go to cigarettes and get a relaxed feeling. You can go to sex in the pornography realm and find something fun to do. You can go to food and overeat till you're blue in the face, which I have done more than I'd like to admit. And still, as soon as it's finished, I say to myself, why did I do that? I am miserable now, and it'll take several hours to be free of it. We can go shopping. We can go to garage sales and say, I got this at a garage sale for $2. Do you know what I mean? I used to do it. But you know what? Whether it's $2 or whether it's $200, if you don't need it, let it go. Find something more enjoyable to do than to go and spend the little money that God has given you. We're getting close to being done, but what I'd like for you to do is go home and read Matthew 6, 26 to 34. It talks all about how God meets your needs, and you don't have to worry about not having your shelter, your food, and your clothing. Now I'm going to give you the 10 commandments of clutter before we do our gift giveaway. Here are the 10 commandments of clutter. Number one, thou shalt stop procrastinating a cleanup. Number two, thou shalt quit making excuses to purge. Number three, thou shalt use it or loose it and let it go. Number four, thou shalt learn to let go. It comes with practice. Thou shalt be a giver and let half of your possessions bless others. Thou shalt set limits and buy very little. Thou shalt use the one-in, two-out inventory rule. Thou shalt believe less is more. Thou shalt keep everything in its place. Thou shalt not compromise with greed. A lot of good things to listen and to think about. Councils on Diets and Health says it this way. I think that's the last one. I don't know if Dan, there it is. Can you read that with me? You should cultivate a love for neatness and strict cleanliness. Teach them to hate anything like dirt and filth. Do not misunderstand me. I do not say you must keep them indoors like dolls. There is nothing impure in clean sand and dry dirt. Isn't that beautiful? Strict cleanliness, neatness is what we are called to do. It's a high calling, but I'm telling you, it's worth the time to do it, to get the peace, cleanliness, and pleasantness of a clean home. Let's close with prayer, and I'll send you out the door. We're just a minute over. Dear Lord, thank you so much for each man and woman that sits in this audience today. Lord, you know their heart. You know their situation. You know their challenge. No one here is without a place that needs to be decluttered, organized, and purged. Whether it's small or large, Lord, give them the strength, give them the courage, give them what it takes to do the work that we just heard about Holly doing. It's amazing transformation, and if she can do it, we can do it too with your power. Thank you, Jesus. Bring us back again tomorrow so we can hear more good things about how to keep our homes neat and clean. Amen.
To listen to more of these presentations, you may visit the audio archives at MISDA.org/audio2023 or search for Michigan Conference Camp Meeting wherever you get your podcast.